Okay, today's daf, we're going to do Ayin Chet and Ayin Tet from yesterday. So just to remind you, at the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amabet, we had the Mishnah which said, Dam shenitarev b'mayim, if you have blood that's mixed up with water, are you supposed to sprinkle the blood of this blood from an animal sacrifice? But yet water gets mixed up with it. So we said it depends, depending on whether it looks like blood or not. Im yesh bo maritam kasher. Same thing, nitarev b'yayin, where there obviously it's going to look red because the wine we're assuming is red wine. Today we'll get to white wine mixed up in a mikvah. Okay. Ro'ino toki iluhu mayim. We view the wine as if it's water, meaning we say, well, let's say X amount of wine is mixed in. If that wine was water, would it still look like blood? And if so, we would then say that if it still looks like blood, it's blood. And if it wouldn't have looked like blood anymore, then we don't sprinkle the blood. Likewise, nitarev b'dam behema u'b'dam chayav. It gets mixed up with blood that's not supposed to be sprinkled, regular blood of an animal. Ro'ino toki iluhu mayim. Again, we view the blood as if it's water. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ein dam mevatal dam. Once there's a little bit of blood in it, that's it. It's blood. Okay? It doesn't matter, this first opinion. He disagrees. Nitarev b'dam psulim. Then we have the second part of the Mishnah, which actually I'm not even going to read now. We'll read it when we get back to, we'll get back to it at the end of the daf today, and then we'll reread the end part of the Mishnah. So, the first thing we saw, we'll just quickly review. The Gemara said, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo shanu ela shenaflu mayim l'toch dam, aval nafal dam l'toch mayim, rishon rishon batel. This is where we say that if it's only, we're only talking about if water falls into the blood, but if the blood falls into the water, when a liquid falls into another liquid, it goes in drops, so to speak. So we're therefore going to say every single time a blood hit the water, it was immediately canceled. And therefore, if it keeps dropping in like that, we're going to basically say that even if in the end it looks like blood, we don't count that as blood because Rishon Rishon Batel. I forgot to mention, we've seen this before and we talked about it, that Rishon Rishon Batel only works if you're pouring. But if you dump the whole thing all at once, then there's no concept of Rishon Rishon Batel. And in that case, if it were all dumped at once, then even Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and the Nevi Rabbi Yochanan would agree that the Mishnah would say, okay, well then, even if dam fell into water, if it all got dumped at once and it looks like blood, we're going to count it as blood. But if it goes in slowly, even if it's not super slowly, but as long as one part hits before the other, every time one part hits, it's going to be canceled into the mixture. And then Rav Papa just says that this is different for kisoy adam, linyan kisoy enoken l'kishayin dichoy b'mitzvot. This is only because the blood was nidche, and we talk many times about dichoy and korbanot, that once something gets rejected from being used, we can no longer use it in the Beit HaMikdash, but that doesn't apply to mitzvot. So the mitzvot of kisoy adam, which is the blood of a chaya or an oaf, a bird, would have to be covered even if the blood fell into water and you might have thought it was canceled. But if in the end there's a large amount, quantity of blood that it looks like blood, we're going to be chayav in kisoy adam. Okay, now comes the statement of Rish Lakish, which we're going to deal with for a little while of the daf. Amar Rish Lakish. Hapigul v'hanotar v'hatameh. There's a debate whether hatameh is here or not. It seems like it's probably just two items. If let's say you have a kezayit of pigul and a kezayit of notar, right now the Gemara is going to assume that we're talking about a kezayit of notar that's a sacrifice, let's say, a piece of meat, and a kezayit of pigul that's a mincha offering, okay, where they're two different things. So Rish Lakish says, if you have a piece of pigul and a piece of notar, let's say a piece of pigul mincha and a piece of meat that was notar left over, right? Pigul is the wrong machshava about chutz lizmano or chutz, and then you mix them up together v'achalan and you eat them at the same time. They're in your mouth. You're chewing them at the same time. Patur, you're not chayav for pigul, and you're not chayav for notar, even though you're eating a kezayit of each of them. Now, why is this? Because eifshar shelo yirbe min al chaviro v'yivatlena. While you're eating at every given point, there's going to be more of one than the other that you're chewing. Tosfot actually claims that this case is where you have two kezayitim of one and one of the other, or something like that, because it's a little hard to understand if it's equal. How would you... Anyway, let's just go with Rashi. Where Rashi says, no matter what, at every given point, you're chewing something, you're chewing more of one than the other. And if we say bitul barov, then one will cancel out the other. Okay, now there's another important factor here, because in the end you're eating a kezayit of each. So what's the issue? The issue is, goes back to something we learned a long time ago about warning. You have to be warned in order to get malko. So someone has to say, do you know if you eat that, you're going to be chayav malko for pigel? Do you know if you eat that, you're going to be chayav malko for notar? So if somebody says that to you, what's the problem? One of them is likely going to override the other. We don't know which one. So your warning is now a warning of safek. It's called hatra'at safek. And we had a debate about whether hatra'at safek is considered a warning or not. We saw it in Shavuot where you say, if I eat, and then no one can warn you because if you have till the end of the day, so if they warned you now, right, we don't know what's going to be later. So let's just go back to the beginning where the two dots are in the middle of the page. Amarish Lakish, hapigo v'hanotar v'atameh shebalalan zebezeh v'chalam patur, because e efshar shelo yer ben min al chavero v'yivatlen. Shma minatzlat. We can infer from here three halachot. Shma minah, isurin mevatlin zeetzeh. The first thing we can learn here is that you have two pieces of isur. One can cancel out the other. What's the chidush here? Dine bitul b'chlal is a chidush, right? That your milk falls into meat, right? That's the classic bitul. Drop of milk falls into your cholent. It's canceled, right? And right, normally we say bitul b'shishim, that's because of a din of ta'am, okay? But normally we would say bitul b'rov, according to Torah law. Maybe if it gives flavor, then it's also going to be, we're going to get to this today, which is, you know, the reason why we say bitul b'shishim is because the assumption is if you have more milk than 1 in 60, then, you know, let's say it's 1 in 59, you're already going to taste the milk in the cholent. It's going to give flavor, and flavor is problematic. If you can taste it, then you can't have the ister in there if you can actually taste it. So it's like eating a cake, right? You could taste if there's butter in it, right? You can actually taste it. So now Rosh is going to suggest here, why is it a chidush to say isurim mevatlin zeitzeh? So he says, ki hechi deheter mevatel isur, v'lam rinan isur v'lam mevatel isur. Okay, he says, you might have thought only heter, well, only isur is canceled into heter, because you have this substance of heter, and then something falls in that's asur, we can say that it gets absorbed into the heter. But if you have two things of isur, then maybe each one is going to keep its original status. You have a pigel and a notar. How can a notar cancel a pigel and a pigel cancel a notar? So we're now going to say that according to Rish Lakish, clearly isurim bevatlin zeetzeh, because he thinks that your pigel can cancel your notar, and your notar can cancel your pigel. That's the first assumption. The second assumption is, no taintam birov lav deoraita. Again, assuming that the case that we're discussing here is a mincha and a piece of meat, right? Generally, you won't have no taintam if you have two pieces of meat, because one piece of meat is not going to taste any different than the other piece of meat. Your notar piece and your pigel piece taste the same, so there's no taam. So therefore, they're assuming that Rish Lakish must be saying that we're talking about a mincha and a meat, and therefore, even though there's no taint tam here, no taint tam birov, no taint tam birov means no, if you're no taint tam into rove of something else, like you have a smaller amount, and it's in the majority of something else, like let's say you have your notar mincha, and it gives flavor to your pigel meat, so while you're tasting your pigel meat, you taste that mincha, even though it's a minority, right, what are we going to say? That normally, we would say no taint tam, it's not canceled. In this case, even though it's giving flavor, it's going to be canceled. And therefore, right, we're going to say it must be that no taint tam berov is not a oraita. The fact that no taint tam is counted and it's not canceled out in a rov mixture is not a doraita halacha. Because if it was a doraita halacha, then we would say here that it's canceled. Okay? That it's not canceled. That because you can taste it, it wouldn't be canceled. And since it wouldn't be canceled, you'd be chayav malkot on it. Okay? So therefore, he thinks it must be not doraita. Ushma mina, and the last one, which is obvious, you have to say is hatra'at safek lo shma hatra'at, because without this, obviously you would be chayav, because in the end you ate both kezeitim. But the problem here is that, again, We don't know which one is going to overpower the other and cancel it out. And therefore, any warning you're going to get is a hatra'at safeg. And even though you end up doing it, let's say the pigel overrode the notar, you were warned about pigel, but since we didn't know for sure that you were actually eating pigel, because maybe the notar overrode the pigel, therefore, that's not even a good warning, and therefore, you can't get malko for this. Okay, so three assumptions. We're now going to question. First thing we're going to do is question assumption number two. The notain tam berov is not d'oraita. Mativ Rava. Rava says, I'm going to question you from this source. Asa isa min achitim umina orez. If you made a dough with chitim and orez, wheat and rice. Im yesh batam dagan, chayeve bechala. So if it has a taste of dagan, you're already, right, remember, you have rice and wheat. If the bread has a taste of wheat in it, then you be chayv lafrish chala, even if the rove is, right, va'af agav deruba ores. So what do you see here? You're chayv in chala, that's a d'oraita halacha. You're chayv in chala, even though it's only no tain tam. So what do you see here? No tain tam berov. If it gives flavor into a majority, to a mixture of something else that wouldn't be chayav, you'd still be chayav in chala. So it is a din d'oraita. So the Gemara answers, what do you mean? Why are you saying it's chayav in chala midoraita? There's cases where you can be chayav in chala midorabanan. Maybe you're only chayav in chala here midorabanan. So that's what they suggest to answer it. To say, no, we still could say no tain tam berov is not d'oraita. However, this case is only a d'orabanan case. They say that sounds good, except the end of that source says, Ihachi ema seifa. Look at the end of that Tanaitic source. What does it say there? Adam yotze ba yedei chavato bepesach. Okay? If you mix, okay, this is clearly before the gzera of kitniot, if you mixed rice and wheat, and the majority of it was rice, but a minority of it was wheat, and the wheat gave its flavor, and you made matzah out of it, you can be yotze your chiyuv of matzah b'leil Pesach, the first night of Pesach, you can be yotze your chiyuv of matzah because you taste the wheat. Okay, now that obviously, in order to be yotze chiyuv of Pesach, it would have to be mida oraita, we consider the wheat significant, which means that mida oraita, no tain tam, berov, is a halacha mida oraita. By the way, I just want to point out, I have kidney out, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has an opinion in the Gemara that orez is a problem for Pesach, and that you're not allowed to eat rice on Pesach, which we reject his halacha, and the fact that we do kitniot has nothing to do with that, even though some Sephardim claim, oh, that's why the Ashkenazim do it, and they're obviously wrong, because we clearly don't paskan like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and it's a minhag ta'ut, but seems to be that kitniot is for other reasons. But this would obviously go against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Here's another source that goes against him, because clearly they think that having orez on Pesach is not a problem. Okay, Ella, and therefore, what did they conclude? So how did they explain Rish Lakish? If no tain tam berov is d'oraita, then how could he have said, in his case, that pigel and notar, right, one cancels out the other, even though there's tam? So what do they answer? That in the end, we change our assumption. It wasn't meat and a mincha, where the mincha would give flavor. That would be called min b'she'eno mino. Okay, min b'she'eno mino, when you have two different things, one gives a different flavor than the other, then we're going to say, okay, ala min b'she'eno mino b'tama. Min b'she'eno mino would be a problem b'tama. In other words, as soon as it gives its flavor, it takes on the status of whatever you taste. In other words, if it's iser mixed up with heter, then it will be asur. Min b'mino, but if it's two of the same thing, biruba. And now we have to reinterpret our case. Our case with the pigel and the notar were two pieces of meat. It was the same type of item. When you have the same type of item, since neither one gives its flavor, then we're going to basically go by majority. Whatever the majority is, if the majority is iser, then it's fine. I'm sorry, if the majority is heter, then it's fine. Okay, so in this case, we're going to say it was two pieces of meat, and therefore, as you were chewing, and you were chewing both together, we're assuming you have more of one. Again, you have to question exactly how we know this for sure, depending on how you view the case. But one will overpower the other, cancel it out, right? And then it's no longer, you don't have a kazayit of one of them. And therefore, right, because remember, in the end you ate a kazayit of both. But as you were eating it, one overrode the other, and it was as if you didn't eat it. That's how we view it. It's a very strange case. Okay. So basically, we're going to distinguish between min b'she'eino mino and min b'mino. And that's going to resolve our issue. Because we are going to say that Rish Lakish thinks that min b'she'eino mino, ta'am b'rov would be a problem, midoraita. But in this case, it was a min b'mino case. Now, they're going to suggest, based on our Mishnah, that why can't you view min b'mino like min b'she'eino mino? Because what did we do in our Mishnah? If you remember, we had a case, let's take, okay, the dam mixed with dam. We have blood and blood, and what did we say? Ro'in oto ki'ilu humayim. We look at the blood of the behemar, the chaya, that's not a korban, as if it was water, which means we view it as if it's min b'she'eino mino. So now the Gemara is going to say, v'nisha'er min b'mino ki min b'she'eino mino. Why don't we view a min b'mino like a min b'she'eino mino and see, you know, would it have given its flavor if it were a different type? Just like our Mishnah, ditnan, right? Which now is going to raise a question on our Mishnah entirely. How could we even say this in our Mishnah? Ditnan, nitarev b'yayin. Now this is interesting. They bring dafka the case of the yayin and not the dam. Okay? Some people think that this whole nusach is wrong and that it should have brought the case of the dam and not the yayin. Because yayin v'dam, the question, you could still say maybe it's min b'mino because they're both red. Or, right, so this is, or not, right. Or, so anyway, we'll go with the pshat where they view yayin b'dam as min b'mino, but you should just know that some people think that the nusach is the dam case and not the yayin case. But I'm going to go with the yayin because that's what it says all throughout. So, ditna nitarev b'yayin ro'ino toki ilu humayim. My lav isn't the way to understand our Mishnah the way we understood it when we read it, which is ro'ino to liyayin ki ilu humayim. Notice it just said, right? It said ro'ino to, right? It says ro'ino to ki ilu humayim. So, what does it mean ro'ino to ki ilu humayim? We view the wine as if it's water, and therefore we look at it as if it's a min b'she'eino mino. And then we go, in this case, not by ta'am, but by mar'eh, right? The way it looks. So then they suggest, no, maybe you misunderstood the Mishnah. In other words, if we went with this interpretation of our Mishnah, the one we started with, what would we conclude? We would go back to Rish Lakish and say, Rish Lakish, why would you distinguish min b'mino? When you have those two pieces of meat in your mouth, maybe we should evaluate how much there was, and maybe one would have given ta'am, and maybe, you know, maybe we should view it like a min b'she'eino mino. So the answer, no, that's not the way to read the Mishnah. We could read the Mishnah mamash differently than we thought it was. Ro'ino to lidam ki'ilu humayim. If the wine mixed up with the blood, or blood mixed up with other blood, we view the blood as, until now, what do we think? If it would have overpowered it, then you wouldn't have to do zrika, right? If the wine would have been water and it would have diluted the wine, then you wouldn't have to. Otherwise, you would do zrika. Now we're going to say, we view the dam like it's water, meaning there's no dam here. You don't do zrika ever. In other words, if the dam is mixed with wine, then we basically view the dam as if it's, since you can't notice the dam, we're going to view it as if it's not dam. So then they say, wait a minute. Then it shouldn't have said ro'ina tadam ki'ilu humayim. What should it have said? It should have said the dam is batel to the wine. Ve'od, and the second question on this reading is, Tanya, there's a braita that says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ro'ino to ki'ilu hu yayin adam. Okay, now we're moving to a totally different topic. We're looking now at mikvah. Let's say you have a mikvah. You want a tovel a kli in your mikvah. You take a kli. Your kli has milk or wine in it, white wine. Okay, it has something white or clearish substance. And you want to dip that kli into the mikvah. So the question is, how do you view this wine that you're putting in? Is it going to be canceled to the mikvah waters? Or is it going to be a chatzitza to the mikvah waters? Okay, so what do they say? Ro'ino to ki'ilu hu yayin adom. We view this liquid, this white liquid, as if it was red. We're doing the reverse here. Imagine the white wine was red wine. Im diha mar'ehu, if it will affect the color of the water, if it will dilute the color into the water, in other words, the red wine will be diluted into the water of the mikvah, then kasher, then your tefillah is good. Vimlav, but if you dip this kli full of white wine, and if the wine had been red, it would have changed the color of the mikvah, then pasul. Then we view this water as if it's some other substance, and it would constitute a chatzitza between your kli and the water, and it wouldn't be a good tefillah. So here, what do you see? That we do use this concept of rowing and the color in a mikveh case. It's the same as our case, and you wouldn't be able to say what we said before. So now, the Gemara answers, Tinaihi. This is a machloket tana'im. In other words, Rish Lakish doesn't hold like our Mishnah. In other words, our Mishnah will be like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, right? But right, Tanahi here. Detanya, Dli Sheyeshbo, here's the whole source, okay? Dli Sheyeshbo Yayin Lavan, O Chalav, Vihit Bilo, Hochin Achar HaRov. Okay? According to the Tanakama, we follow Rov. This would match Mim Bimino Berov, that we explained Rish Lakish is saying, right? That Mim Bimino is going to be canceled Berov, which explains the meat that's mixed up, right? The Pigel and the Notar. And our Mishnah changing Mim Bimino and viewing it as if it's Mim B'She'enu Mino, right? Doing this trick with the colors, change it as if it's a different color. That would be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ro'ino Toki Iluhu Yayin Adom, Im Diha, Mareu Kasher, Vim Lav Pasul. Okay, and our Mishnah would match Rabbi Yehuda. I'm just realizing, though, this problem, because in our Mishnah, I didn't think about this before, our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Dafka disagrees there. So how, right, the Tanakama is the one we're matching Rabbi Yehuda's opinion to, and the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. So how does that work? One second. Okay, so according to one of the interpretations I see here is that you would have to say that when Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Mishnah and says, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, you would have to say that he doesn't, in the Yayin case, he would say rowing. He just disagrees with the Dam case, that if Dam mixes up with Dam, there's a separate issue there. But conceptually, he agrees that if you had Yayin and Mayim, Yayin and Dam, you would be able to treat it, even though it's Mim B'Mino, you could treat it as Mim B'She'enu Mino and substitute wine for water, see what would happen, etc. So he disagrees about a different issue in the Mishnah, but theoretically he agrees with the Mishnah about that concept, that you could basically take a Mim B'Mino and view it like a Mim B'She'enu Mino, which is a radical concept, because it's basically saying that this concept of Mim B'Mino that we generally say is Batel B'Rov, he views it, well, there's certain circumstances, I don't know if in every circumstance, but there's certain circumstances when you can view a Mim B'Mino as if it's a Mim B'She'enu Mino. Basically, neutralizing somewhat this halacha of Mim B'She'enu Mino. Mim B'Mino, sorry. Okay. So now, in the context of this, okay, now we're going to go a little off track. We saw this braita. Okay, this was all to explain Rish Lakish. So we started, you can look at the sheet, I organized it. We started with a question on No Tein Tam Berov is Lav Doraita. We answered that Rish Lakish actually, in the end, does think No Tein Tam Berov is Doraita. So we got rid of assumption number two from Rish Lakish's statement. We said that what's the issue here? That it's a Mim B'Mino, and that's why it's Berov. But if it were Mim B'She'enu Mino, then, and it was No Tein Tam, it would be a problem. But this is the case where there isn't an issue of time because it's Mim B'Mino. Then we said, well, why don't we say Mim B'Mino is viewed like Mim B'She'enu Mino, like our Mishnah? And we said, that's because Rish Lakish wouldn't agree with our Mishnah. Okay? Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and Rish Lakish wouldn't, he holds like Chachamim on this issue. Now that we mention this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda by Mikvah, we're going to bring a Mishnah in Mikvaot which seems to contradict. Okay, we're going to say it must be Rabbi Yehuda, and it seems like Rabbi Yehuda contradicts himself. So here's the other case we're in a mikveh case, or a minhi. Dli shehu male rokin, you have a dli full of spit, okay, which is thick. Vihit bilo, ki'ilu lo taval. If you have this dli and it's full of spit, or even if it's not full of spit, but it has some spit in it. Okay, this is one of the cases where the Mishnah used full because the next case is also going to be full. Okay, but let's just say it has any bit of spit in it. Because it's thick, it's going to create a chatzitza and ke'ilu lo taval. Meiraglayim, this is going to be a little more disgusting. You thought the spit was bad. If it has urine in it, okay, this is why it's going to be even more disgusting. Ro'ino to ke'ilu he'mayim. We're going to view urine as water. And we're going to basically say it gets mixed up with the rest of the water of the mikvah, and it's ke'ilu he'mayim. Now, you have to understand here, what's going on here is a din of, it's a little different than what we were talking about before. Before was din a bitul, is this canceled out to this? Here we're talking about chibur and hashaka. You know how mikvah odor dam, where our mikvahs are really just a bor mayim, but it's connect. It's regular water, but it's connected. It's like hashaka from lashon of kissing, nishika. It's touching water that's kosher may mikvah. So you can have non-kosher mikvah water touching regular water as long as it's water. So here they're going to say the urine is viewed as water. Okay, so if you put your dli in and it has meraglayim, even if it's full of meraglayim, we view that meraglayim ke'ilu humayim. But if it's male mechatat, what's the issue with mechatat? Mechatat, if you remember, is the paraduma waters. It's mitameh, the person who, right, it's mitaher, the person who we sprinkle, but the person who prepares it all, it's mitameh otam. And because it's tameh, and you put it in a mikvah, it's going to be a problem. So the question is, at what point is it a problem? Az shirbu hamayim al mechatat. If there's a majority of the mikvah, if your pail is half full, less than half full, then we'll say that when you put your pail into the water, we're assuming you put your pail in right side up, so the water of the mikvah is going to come in, and then if there's a majority of water, then it's going to cancel out the mechatat. If there's a majority of mechatat, then the mechatat are going to overpower it, and your tefillah is not going to be good. So now, the first thing they're going to say about this bright is, man shamat le'di'i le'roin, who here says that we use this principle of roin? Rabbi Yehuda, because look at the middle case. The middle case where meraglayim, roin otam ki'ilu he'mayim, we view them as if they're water. Now, I have to say, it's a bit of a different use of roin, okay? But because nobody else really uses this terminology so much, they're going to assume that it's Rabbi Yehuda, and nobody really questions this. Even though the roin before was we view a white substance if it's red, or a red substance if it's white, here we're saying we view the urine as if it's water. We look at it as if it's the same substance. It's a little different, and it's also not dine bitul, it's dine chibur. It's a little different, but anyway, the Gemara views them as the same. They assume that if Rabbi Yehuda said roin by us, he would have used the same lashon there, and that must be Rabbi Yehuda. And what does it say in this braita that if you have in the Mishnah, if you have mechatat mixed with water, what do we say? It's batel berov, even though Rabbi Yehuda said all along roin. We'd have to view the water as if it's a red substance, and if it would have changed the color of the mikvah, right? That would have been what we would expect. The katane desagele beruba. So how could he say in one case rove is enough? And in the other case, he says we go by the look and not by rove. It can't be canceled out in rove if it's a stronger, right? If it's a stronger color, right? Or enough of a quantity that if it were a different color, it would have changed the substance. So Amar Abai, lo kashya, ha didide, ha derabe. One case, which is the Mishnah in Mikvah, where he says, mechatat is batel berov. You can look at the chart. I charted it out to make it easier for you. There we go by dat atzmo, that mimbi mino is rove. And in the Braita, where we saw Rabbi Yehuda, Hadi Rabbe, that's his rabbi's opinion. In other words, sometimes we see people, they quote it in their name, but really, it's really in their rabbi's name. And they're not representing their own opinion, but their rabbi's opinion. How do we know that his rabbi said this? Titanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabban Gamliel. Okay, now we know who his rabbi is. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabban Gamliel, Ein dam mevatel dam, Ein rok mevatel rok, Ve'ein meraglayim mevatlim meraglayim. Here he has a very strict view on things. The dam can't cancel dam, spit can't cancel spit, meraglayim can't cancel meraglayim, and basically we're going to be very strict about these halachot, and therefore we're going to say that mim bimino, even though they're two of the same, where you might say they be canceled berov, in these cases we're going to say, no, you view it as if it's she'eino mino, right? And then one will be stronger than the other, and it won't cancel it out. Rava Amar, that's one answer. Rava Amar, no, we view this all as Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, this is Rabbi Yehuda himself. He agrees with his rabbi that ein dam mevatel dam, ein rok mevatel rok, etc. But the case in the Mishnah in Mikvaot is a unique case. What's the case? Bidli shetocho tahor v'gabo tameh askinan. We're talking about a pail that the inside, there's ways that you can have the inside of a kli can be tahor, and just the outside is tameh. So when you tovel it, what do you have to do? You don't actually have to, when we tovel kelim, right, we tovel the whole thing and the water has to get all the way inside. Like if you have a glass, you have to put it in so the water fills up. In this case, since just the outside is tameh, all you have to do is get the outside toveled and it has to just go over a drop until it covers the top of the kli, right, the rim. So since it was a delicious, so if, now imagine, you have your kli with mechatad in it. Now really, all you have to do is get it just to go over, right? So it's Tlisha Tuchota or Begabota Maskinen. Dimidina Sagili Becholdehu. It's enough just to get a little bit of water into the pail, because as soon as a little bit gets into the pail, we assume that the water went over the edges. The Rabbanan who de Gazrubu, but the rabbis were gozer that it has to get into the whole kli. Now the issue is again is the Mechatar Chatzitza. The Mechatar is not a Chatzitza if the Mechatar is at the bottom of the pail and all the water has to do is get over the top of the pail. However, the rabbis were gozer. Why? Dilma Chayis Alayu Velo Mivatale. Sorry, it should be Lo Matbile. We're worried that you might worry. What's the issue? You don't want to lose your mechatat. So if you're going to tova this kli that has mechatat in it, you're going to put it in very carefully and make sure the water doesn't go over the edge. And then your kli is not going to be tahor. So in order to make sure you don't do that, what did they say? Right? They say you have to actually tovel it all the way. But therefore, in this case, as long as there's rov keneged the mechatat, we're not worried. This isn't a regular din of rov and min b'mino, because this case is just that we want to make sure you tovel the whole thing. So we're going to say if it's full to the top, then we're worried you're going to be, you know, not, you're worried about your mechatat. But if it's just a little bit, then we're going to, then you're going to be able to tovel it, you know, let it go over. And we're going to basically say that in this case, since it's only derabbanan that you actually have to tovel the entire kli, we're not going to view that mechatat. Maybe I started saying it wrong. It's like this. You actually have to tovel the entire kli, even the inside, just in case you don't do the rim. So therefore, what did the rabbis say? It's a gzera, that we have to tovel the whole kli, but we're not going to view what's inside as a chatzitza unless it's the majority. And that's why we're going to say majority here, but not because it has anything to do with other cases that we were talking about, mimbimino, because this isn't a regular case that we're discussing. Okay. Now we're going to have, Rava's going to summarize. Amar Rava. Amar Rabbana Betama, v'amar Rabbana Beruba, v'amar Rabbana Bechazuta. Okay? The rabbis sometimes say tam, they sometimes say robe, and they sometimes say the look. Mim b'she'enu mino betama. If you have two different items, it's going to be, if you have ta'am, it's going to cancel it. Mim bimino biruba, if you have two of the same items, rov is going to cancel out your same item. Again, that's because the mim bimino is not so identifiable, right? It's the same as your other one, and therefore rov is going to be enough. And hecha di'ika chazuta bimare. And in a case where there is mar'eh, right, where it might change the color, then we're going to go by the color. Now, this is a little strange, because these aren't three parallel things. The color seems to overlap a little with the time. You could have time, you could have color. So many of the Mefarshim say, I think Rashi also says that what we're talking about here is the, right, Rashi says it, Mile de lo tale betama ela bechazuta kigon le'inyan tfila b'mikva bechazuta. He says the mar'eh is when we're talking about items that aren't batel betam. In other words, things that are inedible, that you wouldn't have an issue of ta'am related to it. So if there's no ta'am issue, then we're going to look at it by mar'eh. Okay, so they're two different things. This is really relating to non-edible things, you would say. Okay, now, that's the end of that section. Now we're going back to Rish Lakish. If you remember, Rish Lakish said, they said that we're going to learn three things from Rish Lakish. Remember, the second one we already rejected, that no tentam barov is not d'oraita. We said, oh no, no tentam barov is d'oraita. It's just a case of min b'mino, where we don't have no tentam issue. Hatra'at safek we're going to keep is not a hatra'ah, according to him, because you can't say his halacha without saying that. That's not a rejection. And now they're going to talk about the first one, which is isurim mevatlim zetzeh. And we're now going to say the pliga de Rabbi Elazar. He disagrees with the Amora Rabbi Elazar. Okay, Rish Lakish, they're both Amora Eretz Yisrael. Rish Lakish has a different approach than Rabbi Elazar. Because Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kishem she'ein mitzvot mevatlot zo'etzo, kach ein isurim mevatlot zo'etzo. Just like you can't have mitzvot canceling each other, you also can't have isurim canceling each other. And therefore, ein isurim mevatlim zo'etzo. So the Pigel and Notar case that we started with, he would think they can't cancel each other out. You'd be chayav your kezayit on both, assuming you got warned for both. Where do we get this, that mitzvot don't cancel each other? And what does it even mean, mitzvot don't cancel each other? So Hileli, and now we get back to Pesach. We started with Pesach today. We're going to continue with Pesach. Titania, Amru al Hilel Azaken, Amru alav al Hilel Azaken, Shaya korcham bevat achav ochlam, Mishum shenemar, al mitzvot morim yochlugu. Thank you. Freudian slip. Matzot umiroim yochluhu. Okay, so this is our classic korech. Now, we don't do korech as our mitzvah. We do it as zecher lemikdash kehillel. But Hillel, it's based on the fact that that's how Hillel would eat his korban pesach. He would eat the whole thing together because it says al matzot umiroim yochluhu, and therefore he would eat them all together. Now, if mitzvot mevatlot zo et zo, think about it, right? You wouldn't eat your kezayah because one would overpower the other. Okay. Right, they say here, but what do you mean? Isn't there, they say that tam marur is very strong, and therefore they say that the tam marur would overpower the matzah, and therefore you wouldn't have the tam matzah, and therefore, you know, we'd have to say, in order for you to be yotze, that a mitzvot mevatel et zo et zo. Okay, now we're moving back to another issue here. Tanu Rabbanan, harsan shel zav v'zava, pam rishon v'sheni tameh, shlishi tahor. Now we're getting off on mikvah-related issues. So you have a piece of cheres, it's a shard of cheres, okay? The assumption is that cheres can't be koshered. Shviratan zohi taharatan, only if you break it can you... Some people say that means it can't actually be koshered. It's a bit of a debate about how to read this, depending on how you view shviratan zohi taharatan. Does that mean you can just break it because you can't use it? Or does it mean actually if you break it, then you can, in theory, be metaher? So let's just assume that. So we have this piece of cheres that a zav or a zava, now any a zav and a zava and a nida, all liquids that come out of their body, like spit or urine, are tameh. So if you had this cheres that had, now why cheres? As opposed to metal or some other kli? Because it absorbs. Okay? So the question is, how do you get it out? So can you get, if it had urine in it, and the urine's not in it anymore, how can you kosher this shever kli? Some people say that we're actually talking about koshering. Some people say we just want to use the kli. In other words, koshering is for hot items. And you can't kosher a kli cheres when it comes to heat. But when it comes to something being absorbed into it, with, you know, here just the urine was sitting in it and it got absorbed, not by heat, which heat you really can't fix, but if it's not heat, it was just sitting in it, then maybe there's a way to kosher it. So what do you do? Right, this is for people who kosher glasses and you switch the water three times. You know, so, harsan shel zav v'zava, pam rishon v'sheni tameh, shlishi tahor. So the first time, the second time you wash it out, it's still, we assume that the water ends up with the urine in it. And the third time, we'll assume when you wash it out with water, the third time already it's going to be tahor. Bamed v'ayim amurim shenatan l'tocham mayim. This is only if you koshered it using water. In other words, you soaked it, you cleaned it out three times with water. Avalonatan l'tochomayim, meaning you use urine, okay, down here we're using urine, that's tahor urine, not urine from a, okay, the whole concept of using urine for these things is hard to understand, but assuming you use urine, afilu asiri tameh. Even the tenth time is going to be tameh, right? What?
In other words, don't bother.
Right, don't do this, okay, although wait till the person who says you can. sorry, ruin it for you, but yes. So in this case, right, because this is because min bimino eno batel. In other words, every time the urine's going to come out into the urine, that's min bimino, and min bimino is not going to be canceled here.
So it's not using urine, right, but min bimino, it's just using it because it's the same thing.
Right, but why would min bimino not be canceled here? Right, because... Right, I guess, right. Normally we'd say min bimino is batel barov. So here he's got a different approach that it's not canceled at all. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer shlishi afa pishalona tana tachomayim tahor. He thinks, no, as long as it's tahor me raglaim, tahor urine, it's no problem. It works because min bimino is batel, right? And it'll be batel every time a little bit of the urine will go into the larger amount of urine. Min bimino will be batel. Okay, so now... Man shamat le da'amar min bimino lo batel. Ah, so now, who's the one, right? This is exactly it. Who's the one who says min bimino is not batel? It's Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say by us? Ein dam mevatel dam, right? And ein, and then we saw Rabban Gamliel had said ein, right, not just dam, but a bunch of other things didn't, aren't mevatel other things, min bimino. So it must be Rabbi Yehuda. And what's the problem, though? Ureminhi, this contradicts another source. Pishtan shetiva'ato nida. You have flax that the nida was spinning. Misito tahor. If someone moves it, okay, that's Tumat Hesed, they're tahor. Now, what's the issue? The Pishtan, the assumption is the Nida, when she's spinning it, she uses her spit to help spin, right? You use it in the process of spinning. So it has her spit in it. But the assumption is it's dry, it's okay. V'im hayalach, but if it was still wet, okay, if the Pishtan was wet when he moved it, then misito tameh mishum mashkeh piya, because of what comes out of her mouth. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ap harotvo b'mayim tameh. Even if it's not wet from her spit, but you got it wet with water, that kind of revives the spit that's in it, and you would be tameh. Mishum, sorry, lost my place. Right, misito tameh mishum mashkeh piya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ap harotvo b'mayim tameh mishum mashkeh piya. Vafilu tuva, and even a lot of water, or a lot of times, okay? I think, right, what's tuva here? A lot of times? Right, even if you cleaned it a lot of times, anytime it's wet, we're going to assume it takes out the rook, okay? So now, one second. Right, why wouldn't he say here that it's enough to do it three times, and that would be fine? One second. According to this, Rabbi Yehuda says, right. In other words, when it came to the cheres, remember, who is the Tanakama of the Charsan? Rabbi Yehuda. And what did he say? If it's water, three times is enough to get out the urine. But here, if you wash the flax 10 times, 20 times, it doesn't matter. Every time it's wet, it revives that spit. So Amar Papa, Shane Rok de Courier. Okay, Rok is different because Rok is very strong. Okay, it has a very strong flavor and it's going to stay there no matter what. Okay, last part for today. Now we're going back to the last part of the Mishnah. There was this machloket at the end of the Mishnah, which is Nitarev Bidam Psulim Yishafech La'ama. If the blood mixed with contaminated blood that can't be brought on the Mizbeach, then you can't use it on the Mizbeach. You have to spill it into the gutter in the Mikdash. And Bidama Tamtzit, the blood that's inside the animal, also Yishafech Lama. For Rabbi Eliezer Machshir. Now notice it's not clear which one he's Machshir. If he was Machshir both, what should it have really said? Nitarev Bidam Psulim U Bidam HaTamtzit Yishafech Lama. But instead it says Yishafech Lama period, and then the next one Yishafech Lama period. And then it says Rabbi Eliezer Machshir, right? And then it just said that last one, Imlo Nimlach Benatan, but if, you know, even according to the one who says it's no good, if you didn't ask a question, you did it anyway, it would be Kasher Bidyev. That's not going to interest us right now. The question is, B'mai Plig, B'mai Kamiflegei. Amar Rav Zvi, B'gozrim Gzera B'mikdash Kamiflegei. The question is, we Gozer Gzera in the Mikdash, do we say that if it mixes with Dam Psulim, even if there's Rove of the Dam, of the good Dam, we're not going to say Batal B'Rove here because we're worried that maybe you'll end up accidentally having a combination where it's not Pasul. In other words, we're worried that you might end up learning from this something wrong, and therefore, gozer gzera b'mikdash kamiflegei. Demar savar gozrin, umar savar lo gozrin. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's fine, we're not gozer gzera. As long as it's canceled out, it's canceled out. The dama pasul, right? And therefore, it's okay. Rav Papa Amar dekule alma gozrin. Everyone agrees that you make a gzera. And therefore, they would both agree that nitarei b'dam psulim, for sure yishafech lama. Because we don't want to have a case where you accidentally bring a combination where the dama psulim is not overridden by the dama kasher, and you're going to end up bringing it on the mizbeach. So we're going to definitely avoid that case. V'hacha b'dama tamtzit matzui l'rabot al dama nefesh kam b'flegei. There's a machloket, is it common that you'd have more dama tamtzit than dama nefesh? The question is, when you shecht an animal, does most of the blood come out right away? Or is there more blood inside the animal than the blood that comes out immediately? Mar savar shachiach. Okay, obviously there's no right answer to this question. Sometimes it happens one way, sometimes it happens the other way. The question is, what's the likelihood? Okay? So one thing's, it's shachiach that there's more dama tamtzit than dama nefesh, which means that we're going to be gozer. Remember, they all think gozerim. So the one who says it's aser is going to say there could be many cases, it's very common, that dama tamtzit is mitrabet on dama nefesh, which means that if we have a case where there's more dama nefesh, we're going to be gozer, because maybe then someone will think that if dama tamtzit is more, you're still allowed to sprinkle the blood. and therefore it's aser. And the one who matches, Rabbi Lazar says, lo shachiach. Mar sevar lo shachiach. He thinks it's not so common. We never gozer gzera in a case where it's not a common occurrence. And therefore, he thinks there's no reason to be gozer gzera on the damatansin case. So now they say, bishlam ala rapapa. Rapapa makes more sense with the pshat of the Mishnah, because hainu dekatane, nitare b'dam apsul mishafech lama, period. B'dam atansi ishafech lama, period. And then Rabbi Lezer machshir. Right? Elele Rav Zvid, according to Rav Zvid, that he thinks the machlokets on both cases, le'arvi v'litninu. It should have just said, like I said, nitare b'dam apsulim u b'dam atansi ishafech lama, Rabbi Lezer machshir, and we end with a kashya on Rav Zvid.